Gosh, how many times have we heard the horror stories about a secondhand car that turned out to be a lemon? I think Wendy Nola could probably write a book on the cases she has dealt with. The guest with me in studio today would probably write the foreword and the footnotes and the sequel to that book. Trudy Brookman, a leading local consumer attorney who has been a guest on the show many times before, and she has seen more than her fair share of cases where an unsuspecting car buyer got a whole lot less value and a whole lot more problems than they thought they were getting when they bought their car. And Trudy, as today's case is going to demonstrate, problems which can actually be life-threatening in some cases, which is what makes it so important to talk about this. It's lovely to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Pepper.
You started flagging this issue because of what you saw in the latest Motor Industry Ombudsman's report, that there are more and more complaints than ever about unscrupulous secondhand car dealers. What in particular made you so angry? I mean, just talk to us about the scope of what that report indicated.
The report is speaking about more and more complaints to the Motor Industry Ombud. I don't even recommend that my clients necessarily go the way of the Motor Industry Ombud, but clearly there are a whole lot of desperate South Africans out there who are approaching the Ombud. Their stats say in the 2023 year, they got 8,123 new complaints from consumers. The previous year, it was 7,400 odd. So more and more. And then the biggest category of complaints is engine related. That's big stuff. That's expensive. That is the type of thing that gets you stranded on the side of the road, on the highway, and put your life in danger. So, yeah, that really is the issue here. When a car can place your life in danger, what can we do? How can we prevent this?
Yeah, absolutely. So from 7,400 to over 8,100, I mean, that's a roughly 10% growth in the number of complaints. And serious in nature is, as you say, what is the big red flag here? I mean, before we talk about the particular case study that you want to talk about today, if a car has been involved in an accident previously, how much, if anything, is a dealer obliged to declare up front? Should they be proactively telling any potential buyer about that, or are they okay if they just wait and hope nobody asks?
It's a good question. It hasn't been tested by the courts,
oh, really?
So I can't give you a definitive answer. What I think the honest approach is to tell and then to be certain as a dealer that you don't get any recourse. What the dealers actually do is to not tell. And there, I think it's probably okay-ish if it was a fender bender and it was properly repaired. But the issue that we often see is that there was a major accident and it was repaired on the cheap. And the dealers often, there are honest dealers out there, and I will vouch for them, but many of the dealers do the repairs on the cheap. They have a mechanic who does a lot of work for them, and they cut the corners, and they just want to get the car off their showroom
floor. Yeah.
The economy is squeezing everyone, and I think that's why we're seeing a bit more in terms of these defective cars.
So fix it to the point that nobody will notice that it was broken, and if that fix is not really up to standard, well, it becomes the buyer's problem. Although in a case like this buyer's got someone fighting in her corner in the likes of Trudy Brookman. Let's talk about the case study that you wanted to discuss today. And I'm really feeling it because it's a young new driver who has just gone into her first car, a 2022 Suzuki Swift Hatch, which she bought secondhand. And I read that and I thought of my own daughter who's just done exactly that, Trudy. And my heart just went cold when I read what poor Misha had been through and what the potential ramifications were. Set the scene for us and tell us about this case.
Right. So Misha Marais is 21 years old. She purchases a 2022 Suzuki Swift Hatchback for $205,000 in September last year. So it's a one-year-old car, and it's her first car. The vehicle sale was supported by a DEKRA report, which was supplied by the dealership, and it indicated that there are only minor scratches as defects on this vehicle. She asks for the service book and the manual for the vehicle, but the dealer just never gets around to supplying
those. Big red flag.
Yes, should be a very big red flag, people. Then Misha is a savvy young girl. She asks about whether the car had ever been involved in an accident, and the salesman of the dealership Highline Motors response to her in writing on a WhatsApp. Very good to get it in writing. That the vehicle did have some work on the front bumper, but it was a minor bumper bashing, he says, and it repaired very well. So Misha buys the vehicle, takes delivery, and then there are little things that bother her. The aircon doesn't work properly, and there's a bit of a noise. So she takes it into Suzuki, and then once Suzuki take a look, wow, it's like a new chapter of disaster.
Oh my
after,
gosh.
One after the other. So first, Suzuki says the aircon needs to be regassed. That's the least of it. But they also say that the radiator is leaking, and there's a front left wheel nut that's loose. And then the front left control arm is completely loose. It's not connected to any other part of the vehicle. So that to me, oh, it sounds goodness. Like a big red flag.
Yeah.
But then, even it more seriously, Suzuki tells them that the vehicle has been in a major accident prior to being bought by Misha, and that cheap repairs were done so that a non-Suzuki approved front left control arm was fitted, the one that is
that wasn't actually fitted properly.
Fitted, which has voided the warranty on the vehicle. Remember, it's a new vehicle, so it should have a warranty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come with a video from their mechanic showing that the seat belts pre-tensioners, so those are the goodies that when your car comes to a sudden stop makes the seat belts draw tight on your body, to prevent you from flying through the windscreen, right? The seatbelt pretensioners were fitted with resistors by somebody, which rendered them non-functional and places the occupants of the vehicle in danger. And if you remove the pretensioners, then we have no idea whether the airbags will deploy or not.
Oh my gosh.
And Suzuki can't even figure this out.
So Suzuki itself confirming major, major problems, potentially life-endangering problems. I mean, that's the reason we're having this conversation, Trudy. This is not small bumps and dings that she hadn't noticed on the showroom floor. These are things which, if left unfixed, could result in a major accident, a life-threatening accident for her. So despite the fact that she had asked them and being told only a minor bumper bashing, it's clearly a lot more than that. What happened when she went back to Highline Motors and said, please see the report from Suzuki of all the things that are actually wrong with this car?
Well, quite astoundingly, they acknowledged that the car had been written off and repaired. So that gives it a different grading. And if you speak to your insurance, then they will tell you that. So very helpful to speak to your insurer before you buy a new vehicle, give the VIN number and have them check whether the vehicle has been written off.
Okay.
Sadly, that information isn't available to the general public. You have to ask your insurance company to look it up.
But an insurance company can check it for you.
Absolutely.
So if you phone them to say, I'm thinking of buying this car and I'll be insuring it with you, can you please check for me that it all is okay? They can look it up for you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And secondly, while you're talking to them, tell them, and the dealership is asking so much for it, is that the right price? Because they're only going to insure it for the correct market value, right?
Okay.
If you pay more, and we are seeing that the dealerships in South Africa are being squeezed a bit by the economy, there are fewer sales, so they need to make, in order to pay the salaries and all of the other lovely things that they need to pay, they need to make a bit more money on every single car sale. Speaking broadly. So be careful that, your insurance tells you what the right price is to pay as well.
Okay, so here we have, just to recap, and let me just say for anybody who's come in midway to the conversation, the voice you're hearing belongs to Trudy Brookman, a local consumer attorney who has taken on the case of Misha Marais, who bought this 2022 Suzuki Swift hatch, had asked whether it had been in an accident, was told by the dealership only a minor bumper bashing and it's been fully corrected, only to find after purchase that the car had major issues, some of which were really potentially life-threatening issues if left undealt with. How far is you? So you went back to the dealership. The dealership admitted this car had actually been written off. I would have expected that they would then, so sorry, we'll refund you in full and take the car back. But that's not what's happened, I gather.
Astoundingly, we've been around the bush a few times, and where we stand at the moment, after various sort of other permutations of settlement offers, is that they are willing to take the car back and refund Misha if they can just first do some checks. So I don't know what those checks are. I said to Misha, get them an AA report that will give them the answer to the condition of the vehicle. And she's done one of the fancy ones, you know, the 128-point expensive version. Yeah. Check, I've sent that through. They won't accept that. They want to do inspections themselves. Otherwise, they will not. But they want the car back first. So now I can't tell her to go and give up the car and not have assurance that she'll get refunded.
Money back, yeah.
She's also very nervous about the vehicle is on her name at the moment, of course, that the next person, that they just unsell it to another unsuspecting consumer, and that the next person then sues Misha for this heavily defective vehicle when they have a huge accident and the airbags don't deploy and the seatbelts don't keep you in the vehicle.
Yeah.
And they have also refused to give the indemnity unless Misha waives her right to claim from them, which is a bit of a contradiction in terms, as you can see.
So I have to ask, I mean, as the lawyer in the room, Trudy, you know, I hear of, firstly, she was told an outright lie when she asked them directly for information on the car's accident history. She was given a falsehood. The car was supplied to her with a DECRA report that clearly was, to be charitable, incomplete or done in a hurry, to be uncharitable, fraudulent. Is there not a case to be made that she needs to be going into a police station and reporting this dealership?
Yes, yes. The thing is, you know, Pippa, if we had a more operational police force, I think that's what we'd all do. Yes, great option. I'm gonna mention that to Misha and we can try that as well. But, you know, we need to sort these things. Our legal system needs to have a system for enforcing consumer rights.
Yeah. Because, I mean, let's look at it from a consumer rights perspective and a consumer law perspective, setting aside the possibility of charges of fraud and the like. From a Consumer Protection Act point of view, there must surely be multiple clauses of the Act that have been let down in this case.
For sure. When you mislead a consumer, you are breaching four or five of the provisions of the Consumer Protection Act. If you refuse to refund the consumer, you're breaching Section 56, and there's probably plenty more. Okay. I would argue that a transaction like this might be unconscionable if you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, as a dealer. I mean, it's ethically abhorrent behavior. There's no questioning that. But yeah, from a legal perspective, as you say, there's so many red flags here. A very good question coming in from Trevor around timelines and how much wiggle room you have to take back a vehicle in a case like this where you've bought it in good faith and then discovered that there are actually major problems. Because Trevor says, my son bought a car over a year ago through a dealership and with bank finance. The car conked out on day one and he's been given the runaround. It's still in for repairs over a year later. He's been told it's too late to return the car after being strung along for all this time. Is it true that it's too late? Mm. What timelines do you apply?
What a potential disaster.
Yeah.
There are various remedies. So I can reassure the listener that he falls within one of those.
Okay.
The reason that he's been told that he's too late is that the initial remedy is that if you discover a serious defect in the vehicle within the first 6 months of taking delivery of it, then you can take the vehicle back and you can either get your money back or you can get a replacement. So let's say you purchased a new vehicle, you can get identical.
Okay.
Product. But if you miss that deadline and the vehicle has been repaired, and then within 3 months from the last repair, so when you got it back from the last repair, within 3 months, another problem arises, or you get the same problem sticking up its ugly head again, then you can also take it back to the dealership and get your money back or a replacement if you prefer the replacement. So then there's a third remedy. And a fourth one, I'll go through them quickly. Mm. The third one is Section 61 of the Consumer Protection Act, and that says that you can get your full repair costs and any other damages that you've suffered if you discover after the six-month period. So you just need to keep careful receipts and proof of payment and all of those documents together. You can put all of that together, have the car fully and comprehensively repaired, I would say, by the agents, and then claim that money back from the dealership. And then if you were misled about the vehicle, you can cancel the contract at any stage within 3 years of being misled and get your money back.
Okay, so there are remedies if it was knowingly misrepresented to you, is what I'm hearing.
If it's dangerous or defective, even if the dealer didn't know, you can still have all of these remedies.
Okay, so a big thank you from Trevor already on the WhatsApp line and asking, is this on podcast? Trevor, absolutely, it will be shared on podcast for you to be able to access the link again. So, I mean, let's wrap up, Trudy, with just some core advice for listeners. I know the time is marching away from us, but you've already said big red flag if the dealership can't give you a service book or the manual for the car. That's a very, very big warning sign that all is not right. You've spoken about the importance of keeping careful records and track of all communication and preferably getting responses in writing. Two or three other points, anything else that you'd like our listeners to know?
Great. If a finance contract, look, most of us buy a vehicle based on financing from a bank. If that contract, which is likely, is going to require you to inspect the vehicle before taking possession of it, get an expert to do it. Don't do it yourself unless you are a fully trained mechanic.
Okay.
Take it to the manufacturer's agent, to the AA or a mechanic who you trust, and get them to write a little report for you. You pay for that report and then you know you can trust it, because with these weird DECRA reports we're seeing across my desk all the time, if the dealership pays, we can't necessarily trust the report, it seems.
Okay, sure.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Don't feel pressurized to sign the same day. Take a copy of the contract home, read it slowly and carefully, and you can cross out clauses that you don't like and sign initial next to those. Make a note of everything the salesman promises. Take a video, keep audio recordings, etc. Get it in writing. It's not usually worthwhile buying an after-service warranty. We don't find that they really they apply in so few of the cases that it's generally not worth your money. How can you check whether the car has been inexpertly repaired? You look for overspray. So,
okay.
Open the car door and look on the inside of the car door where the line is of the end of the paint. If it's been sprayed over that line, the chances are that that door has been panel beaten and has been repaired. Then you know the car's been in an accident. Check that out very carefully. Look for oil and water leaks under the car. Don't disregard those. Mm-hmm. It can be a major issue. Check the internet beforehand about classic problems with the type of vehicle that you're buying, and check out those when you are test driving the car or asking the dealer for information. And then lastly, buy from a dealership that has insurance for cases where you bring the car back within the 6 months or within a year or 3 years or whatever. A guy who has insurance is going to help you.
a guy who doesn't.
Is not insured, you are going to have an uphill battle.
And we hope you don't end up having to call on the likes of Trudy Brookman, but thank heaven she is there for those who need it. Trudy, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you so much for that advice.